Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast. And here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
Hey everyone, this is John O'Connor of Behind the Barricade, and I'm joined with Daniel Tao. We finally reached the double-digit mark of the podcast, and what a way to celebrate than by having Jimmy James return with his band Stereo Joe. We talk about a bunch of awesome subjects like opening up for your idols, possibly playing too many shows, video games, and more. They're an incredible band, and with Jimmy's personality both on and off the stage, they're an extremely fun band to be around. Before we get into the interview, I just want to say that we'll finally be on iTunes starting next week. Both Dan and I figured out what we needed to do, and hopefully we'll be all set. So once we're up there, please hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, if we deserve it, of course, and leave a comment saying what you like, what you don't like, who you want to see on the show next, etc., etc. We'll go from there. Also, we're looking for sponsors. If you want to sponsor with us, send an inquiry to behindthecade@gmail.com. All great shows have great sponsors, and with our vast audience on social media, we're a diamond in the rough. Okay, without further ado, here's our conversation with Jimmy James and Stereo Joe. Hit it! What's going on, everybody? This is John O'Connor with Behind the Barricade Podcast, and I'm with
Daniel Tao.
And this is a very special episode. It's the return of Jimmy James.
Thank you.
And
thank
that's not you. All. We have the rest of Stereo Joe here. What's going on, guys?
Hello.
Hey, hey.
All right, so to my center, I believe, we have Sal. He's the drummer.
Hi, everyone. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Behind the Barricade. Now also to, in my center, I don't even know. Yes, the left center. We have Eric on bass. What's going on, Eric?
How are you?
E to the rock. All right.
Yeah, how are you? How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. So
we're fantabulous.
We are here in the barn.
Yeah. Welcome.
Your practice
space.
Welcome. It's very nice in here.
This is where we meet few nights a day or a week, right? And
it's practice. Beautiful. And like you guys are.
Make some music.
Is that what you call it, the barn?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Well, I sure hope so because there's the barn paraphernalia all over the place.
This is the barn. This is where we practice. This is where the magic happens.
Is it? So, wait a second. Is this soundproof in here or?
No, it's just regular barn material stuff. Actually,
and
no,
the fact that you don't really have really close neighbors. So, yes. We don't really have to worry about anybody really.
To give you a quick summary of history of the barn, it was built by my dad. It was supposed to be his office. And it became more so like my brothers and I's place to kind of jam throughout the years, you know, just kind of played here and it evolved to my practice space and, you know, playing with other people, playing with bands. Eventually, Stereo Joe came along. We jammed, Jimmy and I, and Eric hopped on the bus. And
the short bus?
The short bus, believe it or not.
It still is a short bus.
And it's growing. It's a bus that grows.
So it's the Magic School Bus.
Yes!
Dude, I used to love watching that show when I was a kid.
It explains a lot.
Yeah.
Does it?
Does it, James?
Is he really into science now?
No.
No.
No, actually, Dan really is. Actually, I call Dan Dr. Dan, to be honest with you. He actually knows a lot of information about medicine and natural cures. He's a pretty interesting character.
And drugs.
And different types of drugs.
All right. Yeah. So let's get down to Stereo Joe. Describe your music.
Our music is groove rock with a little bit of everything in it.
It's definitely has some funk to it. A lot of funky moving boogie woogie stuff. Nah, but
it's dancing music, man.
It can make you groove more so than just regular classic rock. I would say a band that's similar to us is Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's not like it's our biggest influence. It's just kind of what we almost sound like.
Got a similar style. You know, same instrumentation, bass, guitar, drums, vocals, and it's very upbeat, you know, kind of catchy, kind of energetic. We have a real fun stage show where we get really into it, and we're just constantly trying to do new things to enhance it all the time.
Oh, that's awesome. So my first question is, I read a post on your Facebook about searching for another band member to add to the Stereo Joe Trio, but the post was a little vague. Care to explain what kind of member you're looking for?
That's a great question, and we've got a little bit of response on it so far. And I left it a little bit vague because I'm curious to know what type of person we could get. I don't want to necessarily limit it to a particular thing. Obviously, we're not really looking for another drummer or another bass player.
Are you sure? Because I could step in.
No.
Just joking. But I can't compete with Sal.
There's so many instruments out there that I would consider. And ultimately, we're really looking for the right person that wants to come in here and be a part of the team and understand what we have going already and figure out a way to take what we have to the next level and really want to work hard. So I would love it. If I could just pick, I would want someone that plays keyboard and sings. But if there was a great saxophone player that came along and was like, dude, I could sing and play sax.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying. It's like it ain't a game. You can't just put your character and put keyboards on him and make him sing, you know. We believe as a band that there is a person out there that would want to join us and bring their own little spice with to Stereo Joe, but, you know, keeping it Joe and keeping that mug hot.
Yeah, I don't know if it's something we're really, like, searching for something specific or particular, but I think when we find it, we'll just know it, you know.
Now, are you limiting it to just musicians or, like, I don't know, someone that would do, like a dancer or something like that? Would you be open to something like that?
Hell yeah.
Now, a male or a female dancer?
We like both.
Dogs, oh, too.
No, really. I mean, obviously, we would love to get a few girl dancers, but there's no doubt that there's amazing break dancers that are dudes and they just like blow your mind. And I would really love to have some guy come out in one of our funky songs and start breaking out, doing some crazy dance. We are looking for a lot of people, to be honest with you. We are looking to build our team. So we're looking for people to do lighting. We're looking for people to help out, come up with ideas. We're looking for a stage crew. We are looking for people. We could do it ourselves, but if someone was to help us with booking, that would be nice, or to help us, you know, with some of the details of the business end. But we are in-house, and we do really want to keep things in-house. And, you know, whoever joins with us, we really want to bring what they have to the table, and that's, you know, their strengths or whatever. But we also, like Sal was saying, we want them to understand what Stereo Joe is as well, and to really, you know, breathe that in, but then, like I said, put their own little flavor on it. So we're looking definitely for a musician, for sure. But that search could be satisfied in 2 weeks or in a year. We don't know. We're getting the right person in, for sure. We're not just anybody. And then also with the other people, we're looking to do those people immediately. Any team members, anyone out there who's interested in either dancing or doing artwork for us or helping us out with lights or, you know, just in any way to support us at all, we definitely would welcome that and appreciate it. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that.
No, that's pretty much it, man.
Okay, so if someone listening right now is interested in trying out for Stereo Joe, how would they contact you?
Great question.
Thank you.
So many ways. And this is a great question, by the way. But really, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. You know, just we also have our email address is stereojoemail@gmail.com. So we're going to put it up online for you guys on the website. But it's easily, we're on Google, we're on YouTube, we're on pretty much every social media there is. So all they got to do is reach out to us and contact us.
Awesome. And actually, that's my next question. It is about email. You recently started an email list for the band, giving out great info about Stereo Joe and also some giveaways. Honestly, a lot of people discredit email lists and say they're a little outdated. But in my opinion, it's a great idea, especially when Facebook caps the amount of people to see a post, where you have to pay more for your people that like the page to see it, and it's a pain in the ass. How's the feedback been so far for the email list, the Stereo Joe email list?
Feedback has been, average for now. We haven't really made it known that we have this emailing list as much as, you know, we want to. Within the next couple gigs, that would be more definitive answer to our audience and to the people who want more from Joe.
Yeah, I think email is a great idea. I think it's a little bit more personal too. You know, definitely add a more personal touch. I think when people are going to check their email, they're not going to necessarily expect something from, you know, a local band or a band that they're into. So it'll be like in between everything else. So they'll probably be more inclined to read that. Oh, this is exciting, as opposed to maybe like a work email or something like that. You know, I think it could be some. It has some potential.
Yeah, it does sound like a great, great idea in the end.
I'm really excited about it, and I personally think a lot of bands are missing that, the utilization of it, because what's happening is, like you mentioned, on Facebook, it's not really showing it to that many people, and you can see the number of people who have viewed your post, you know, through their data that they give you, and, you know, we have around 500 fans just over, and yet only 100 have seen it. So there's 400 that have it. And, you know, you have all these friends and you can only see so much stuff. So it's understandable. So this is another way that a lot of people do check their email. And Facebook is falling out a little bit of favor with people. So essentially, we want to have a comprehensive communication strategy where we can reach people on multiple platforms. So if you happen to be an email person, great. We're going to give that to you. And on top of it, we are going to give them something extra special with it, which is a newsletter, a monthly newsletter. And it's just about to come out. It hasn't come out yet. But in that newsletter, it's going to really reach out and touch the fan in a way that the social media isn't, because we can be a little bit more personal. We're going to include different links. You know, there's going to be, they can click on different things, you know, view pictures that not everyone's getting access to. And there are some promotions in the works that are going to be announced during the first newsletter. And I'm pretty excited about those. So there's some good stuff in the air, and we're pretty pumped about it. So make sure you guys check it out. If you're interested, send us your email.
For people that want to join at shows, you're going to have like a list?
Oh, yeah.
Where they like sign their name and put their email address?
Probably by the merch table, right? That'd be the...
Exactly. Yeah. Come on down to our merch table. We love meeting new people. If you're into our music, come talk to us about it. We're really nice, friendly guys.
We really love talking to all the fans that we meet at the shows, and they stick around for our shows and they watch us. They like us. We want nothing more than just to talk to them and see, you know, where they're from and you know what other shows they go to and what music they're into, and just talk to them. You know, it's really cool, and it's a great spot to utilize the mailing list right there.
Exactly.
Including the people we meet at gigs. Big part of that are the other bands we play with, and that's definitely a privilege to be seeing other talent and sharing ideas, sharing, you know, I guess band stuff in general, and you know, meeting good people.
It's a lot of fun to be a part of the scene, and a lot of bands are getting into it, and I hope the trend keeps continuing. We just got to keep supporting each other, and like they said, you know, we really try to befriend all the bands that we go and play with. I mean, there's a lot of cool people we've met and been fortunate enough to meet, so we're just going to keep meeting more. So that's really exciting, and we hope to see you guys out at the show. And, of course, anyone who's listening, please come on out. Go to our Facebook. We got all of our shows listed in some sexy pictures with Sal.
Oh, and that's more of an incentive than anything else to check out the Facebook.
And the more people that view, the sexier those pictures will get.
Guaranteed. So speaking of shows... From
baby.
Amen.
Ow!
So from January to the end of March, Stereo Joe has played 4 pretty big shows and is booked for 3 more. You guys really hit the ground running, so to say. Given that most of the venues are a pay-to-play venue, is there any fear that you might saturate the market with the amount of shows in a small period of time?
I'm going to jump in on this. If you guys don't mind, it's so funny that you just brought that up, because we've just been in talks about that. And we're taking on a little bit of a goal here. We're aiming for 69 shows in 2016. 69. No, we're really looking to do something here. And you're absolutely right. You know, there's essentially 2 types of shows. You get the ticket sales at the door type of show, or the entertainment type of show. And, you know, it's this conundrum that you have in the music scene today. You have the 2 scenes, the original music scene and the cover music scene. And in my opinion, once you start going into the covers, it's like a drug. Like, all of a sudden you're at a show, and instead of the person yelling out that they want to hear one of your songs, they're like, play Freebird. And I'm like, damn it. Like, I want you to yell out for my song. So, like, to me, it's like a slippery slope, and there's a delicate way to handle it. And so anyway, as a result of that, you know, we've been really focusing on original music, which limits us to the types of venues that we have. But we have been increasingly working on some other covers.
And that's our goal in the next, like, month or so, to get, you know, really nailed down some really cool covers, and we have some cool ones in the works right
so
now.
So I'm thinking I should stop yelling, play Freebird at your shows.
No, we love it because it's classic Dan. But in all seriousness, the covers, and that's been another thing that's been taking a little bit of time, is we're not just trying to do any cover. We're trying to do covers that really fit the Stereo Joe mold, that are energetic like we're into. So we've been, you know, having to go through that charade. So it's been good.
That's awesome, guys. So how do you feel about pay-to-play shows? We were just talking about this with Justin of Boontoons last week, which you guys are going to play there when? March 26th, right?
Absolutely.
You'll be at Boontoons in the heart of Boonton, New Jersey.
Love it. I love it. Been dying to play there. It's a great venue. The lighting there is sick.
That it is.
And I can't wait to get some shots.
Yes.
Some photos.
Absolutely. And maybe some shots of something else.
That's at the bar up the street afterwards.
Damn right. So going back, pay-to-play shows. You know, a lot of people like them. A lot of people understand. And a majority of people really hate them. What are your views on it?
I mean, I think it's silly for people who actually hate them because, I mean, you don't go to see a brand new movie in the movie theater for free, you know? It's a privilege to see, I guess, someone you want to see, or maybe someone that, you know, means something to you, to go to a show and just pay $5 or $10 or whatever. I can understand that, you know, sometimes you could get a little bit too much at certain venues and people, you know, kind of despise going to that certain venue. But in general, like, expect to spend some money, you know? It's life. You're going to have to spend money.
Yeah, you're supporting the local music scene, and, you know, you walk in there, you pay, what, $10 at the door, you're supporting whatever band you're really there to see, but then you're really walking out with just a great experience overall. You might walk out and see a band you've never even heard of before and get real into them, and, you know, if you didn't go to the show, you wouldn't have seen it. So, I mean, I think there's a lot to take out of it. Definitely is.
And as we all know, you know, we're all original musicians here. It is so hard to make a buck in the music industry today. I mean, you know, where Boontoons is today, a few years ago, it was Canvas Clash. And if they were making millions of dollars, it would be called Canvas Clash still. And those people would still own it and be running it. And it's hard to churn a profit. So, like, I hear people getting mad at the venues that run pay-to-play, but how are they going to stay open through magic money that just comes magically? No, they have to charge for the service. And then the bands, you know, a lot of, there's this funny meme, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen it on Facebook or anything, but it's like, you know, what people think for when they, what they think, what people think they're paying for when they hire a band to play songs that night, but what they're actually playing for. And like, you know, we all didn't learn our instrument overnight. We didn't learn these covers overnight. You know, we didn't get the cohesion as a unit and a band together overnight. You know, our instruments weren't free. Driving to the venue wasn't free. The setting up, all the hours of practice. I mean, that's what you're paying for. You're paying for a product. And like you said, you don't expect to go to the movies. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio is a multimillionaire how many times over, and he's not doing movies for free. So why am I the guy that makes, I don't even want to say it, how much money a night? So small, it's
multi-millions.
It's embarrassing. It's like, oh yeah, let's, you know, it's like, come on, there has to be some way that this system works. So I support pay to play, and, you know, as an artist, we're trying to diversify, to do a bit of both. So we're not always saying to our fans, hey, you know, give us $10, $15, $20, depending on the venue or the act. And so anyway, we would like to offer them, hey, you know, we are playing at this bar, so you guys can come out and get a drink, and we'll get you a drink or something like that. So we want options for our fans. But, you know, we do appreciate the fans that do go out and support those places, because, you know what, without them, there'd be hardly any places mm-hmm. to see original music.
Definitely.
So I'm appreciative, and I just want to say thank you, Boontoons, and thank you to Canvas Clash back in the day, and the Clash Bar and all these other places that we play. You know, thank you guys. You know, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it also depends on the way that they run the pay to play.
Definitely.
I mean, if it's like, oh, you know, you're supposed to sell 20, you only sold 10, you guys got to leave. You know, obviously, then you know that's not something good. But I think the Clash Bar does it a good, you know, like a good way.
Totally.
That like if you sell 20, all right, you know that's the minimum. If you sell 10, you know, oh, you might not just get paid. That's good. But they also have a thing like, oh, if you sell less than 10, you know, you could either get asked to play a short set, or you know, you might not be asked back. I like that. You know, I think that's like it's pretty good because it's like, all right, you have to sell 20. If you don't sell 20, like, oh, we understand. But, like, this is what might happen if you don't. You know, if you've repeatedly come to our venue and not sold the minimum number of tickets, you might not be allowed back. I think that's, you know, something that's good. I don't, you know, like something like Starland. Like, oh, you, if you don't sell $150, 150 tickets, you have to give us the money for all those tickets, ooh, regardless. I'm yeah, just saying that,
no,
that
well, that's a
if that's,
venue,
like, the if that's, like, the case,
you, gotta be
you know, that's
boy,
a little,
yeah,
yeah but...
But no, and I agree with you on Clash Bar. I mean, we love the Clash Bar. We played there.
We've played there a bunch of times.
Four times now?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
that's,
we've done
that's
like
my one of my favorite spots.
Oh yeah,
I love that spot.
And the owner's great. He's
love
really
the
cool.
Movies.
Bob is the man.
Oh, the horror porn the whole time. Yeah, I love that shit.
Now we always have a great time over there, and always enjoy playing for everyone that we get out there, and just like whoever's there. It's just an easygoing place that we feel comfortable playing at, and we know we're going to have a good night.
And I think the manager actually pays pretty well compared
oh, yeah,
to a lot of the venues around
definitely
here.
Totally.
It's he's definitely more than $2 per
yep
the ticket you sell.
I don't want to name the venue, but we've been hurt before. I don't even want to say these numbers are so
yeah
embarrassing.
No,
sometimes
a lot of the places
no
like you have to sell a ticket for $20, $15 and they give you $2 per ticket.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
And I think everyone in this room knows the exact place.
Yep. Yeah. And a lot of the listeners might as well. But hey, you know, I'll tell you what, at the same time, I played some killer shows there and I'm appreciative of that as well. And I'm looking forward to playing some more. So thank you.
Who, what, where?
And why?
Oh, yes. So also, when I was doing a little stalking on your Facebook pages, wink,
I love
wink
it.
Stalk away.
I love it. I hope you were looking at all my pictures.
Well, that's a given. Every time I wake up, I go.
A day went by.
Jim James.
Jimmy normally,
James, gotta look at
they're
him
all on Eric. He's like blowing up our Instagram. Check it out. He looks.
And what's the Instagram?
Fine. Stereo Joe Show.
All together.
But when we spell Joe, we only do it J-O. There's no E.
Like a cup of Joe.
Yep.
And that's what we are.
Just like my initials. Thanks, guys.
We actually did that in honor of
I knew
you.
It. I
Stereo
knew it.
John O'Connor.
That makes sense. So anyways, after stalking your pages, I noticed that you were planning an 8-state tour in May. And we have a lot of band members that listen to this show and would like to know how that process has been so far and any advice you'd like to give them on booking out-of-state gigs.
You
or
know,
tours.
Yeah, that's a great question. It is not easy, and there is a lot of great resources online that will help you along the way with that, and we are really pumped about that ASA tour. We actually have kind of suspended when we're going to do it. It's on the table, but I think what we're going to do beforehand is try to do some smaller tours, of course, like maybe 2 states, like Massachusetts, Rhode Island,
like a weekend warrior type of deal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or even maybe like a longer, like a long weekend warrior tour. Like, we're not just weekend warriors, we're long weekend warriors. I mean, when I look at Eric, he's long. I mean, look at him, look at those legs.
Yeah.
They're long.
I don't think you were talking about his legs.
I was talking about his third leg.
God. His tripod.
Damn it, Dan.
Well, Dan, I think there really the goal is for this year is to hit the 69.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
shows, the shows.
You gotta hit the 69.
We were talking about that earlier.
Exactly,
yeah,
and I think that's a great goal to do. And we are looking to play out of state. You know, we want to play a lot of shows. We want to get on the road, and, you know, the best way to do it is to find a band that already has done it, you know, befriend them, start talking to them, find out the places that they've played, the different venues, depending on where you're going. I'm just like the promo king today, but there's another website, sonicbids.com, that has a lot of great little articles and information on it. So definitely want to check that website out. A lot of great resources there, at least to get your juices flowing and maybe where you're going to go from there. But we're really excited about the prospect, about the tour, and we would definitely post more details through our email newsletter, which you can reach us by sending an email to stereojoeemail@gmail.com.
There we go. Keep up the plugs. So bet. Now the 8-state tour is briefly suspended. It's TBA right now. So what about the video that I hear that's being released in March?
Ooh. Music video?
Now, do we have any details released on that, or are we getting the exclusive?
This is groundbreaking news for our fans.
Oh, we're getting the exclusive.
We are planning an upcoming acoustic video.
Ooh.
Stereo Joe is going to be breaking new ground and moving into the acoustic realm.
Little coffee house, Stereo Joe.
You got
Stereo
it.
Cup of Joe.
Wait, so what kind of, describe, what kind of video is this? Music video, live performance? What is it?
It's a video that's going to be a live performance of us playing acoustically one of our songs. Or now, maybe a cover. We're not really sure yet.
Oh, no. All right.
The song is to be determined still. But we are pretty excited about it because it's a new avenue and a new road. We're going down new doors to open, new venues to open. Because, you know, a lot of these places, a lot of open mics, they're like, acoustic only. I'm like, oh, really? So anyway, it opens up more doors for us. Maybe we could just pick up in the park. And we're looking to do some guerrilla marketing type tactics to really get the name Stereo Joe out there.
You ever thought about playing in Times Square?
Definitely.
Already have.
Central Park. Shit, this guy's been everywhere. No.
You played in Times Square?
No. Oh. Lincoln Center. No, I'm kidding.
Carnegie Hall.
I was at MSG last week.
Well, that's how, what's the name of that band, that metal band? The three kids?
Oh, yes.
I have no clue.
Oh, Unlocking the Truth, I think?
Yes, you got it.
Never heard of them.
Oh, you've heard of them.
Oh,
with
I have.
A little help from their friend.
I've so heard of them.
No, you definitely did. They actually became big from playing out on the streets in New York City. Someone filmed them. Like a full three-piece band. It was a guitar player, a bass player, and a drummer just doing breakdowns for like half hour on the video. It's the craziest sick. Thing. But they ended up getting a contract with, I believe, Sony. And then they ended up backing out of that contract.
No kidding.
Daddy said no.
Yeah, but it
Daddy
was,
said no.
Really? They didn't go with anybody else? They just backed out of a record contract?
Well, they got a whole bunch of lawyers trying to get out of there. Apparently, they signed like a 10-year deal or some shit like
Damn.
That for only like $100,000. Like,
what?
It was really nothing.
That's the worst way to go.
I would never even do it.
It's called the cycle. It's when they.
It's when they what?
It's when they sign up for a certain amount of albums that they have to get done, and then once it's done, they're done with that contract, and they either stick with the record label or they move on.
Yeah, I don't even think they put out anything with Sony. I think they immediately got out of it.
I would understand that.
But, yeah, so Dan, you have any questions?
So you guys opened for national acts, such as Ballyhoo. Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, yeah.
Ballyhoo!
All right. So the Toasters.
The Toasters. Yeah. From England.
Hookers and Blow.
Oh,
not just Hookers and Blow, too.
That was great.
And now the Slackers. At the end of this month, so here's a question for all three of you, not just James, not just the drummer over there.
I am no named.
He's just the drummer.
Ringo.
If you can open for any act that's still around, who would it be and why?
Well, I know Jimmy James is.
Eric, you should do this.
We're all going to do this. Honestly, I mean, the Slackers are one of my favorite bands.
Because you're a slacker?
Yeah, I am. No. But I've seen them a bunch of times. I've seen them. We'll be playing with them at the Stanhope House. I've seen them there a few times. I've seen them down in Asbury Park. They have an annual booze cruise that I've seen them on.
That sounds fun.
It was awesome until somebody jumped off the boat.
Well, that was bound to happen,
NYPD had to, get them. The guy survived. But yeah, I mean, they're awesome. They're really my favorite band. So for us to be able to play this show is a huge step for the band. It's going to be one of our biggest shows. And just me personally, I'm really excited. They're one of my favorite bands. And it's a really big step for us as a band. So I would say that they're definitely up there. I'm really excited. And pass it down.
All right, Sal.
No, you got to skip me.
All right, skipping.
There's so many, but I have two, I guess. And if I could bring someone back from the dead, there'd be three.
No dead people.
No dead.
Let me guess. The band name starts with a D.
Yes. Wait. What? Wait. What are we talking about?
The live or the dead?
You forgot the question.
I'm so confused.
Which band would you want to open for?
I don't know. No, of course it starts with a D, you son of a bitch. You ruined my surprise, the Dave Matthews Band.
You got to throw the D in
but there. But there is another person that I'd love to jam with, Eric Clapton. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Just to get up there and do like a little back and forth lead solo shit with him and be like, I fucking jam with Eric Clapton.
So just Eric Clapton, not like Cream or...
Unfortunately.
Ginger. Ginger Baker.
One of them's not alive anymore. Otherwise, I would love to play with Cream too. All
right. So if they were still around, what would you choose?
I Cream for Cream.
All right. So there you have it.
You Scream for Cream.
We all Scream for Cream.
And Sal, last but not least.
Honestly, this is so hard for me because the way I'm thinking about it is like, what band will we work well with opening for?
Spice Girls.
And like, that's what goes through my mind.
I thought they were going to say what band would want to open for us.
In this modern age, for what we want to get done, I would say like one of the newer acts these days are hot nowadays.
Hot, definitely.
Justin Bieber.
No, more like 21 Pilots or something.
Oh,
like,
shit. That would be perfect.
Just because they have such a young crowd now and like...
Yep, it's the hip
I don't know,
thing.
Somehow they're doing it. And, you know, I'm jealous, you know?
You can learn.
And then I guess, you know, I would love to open for Dave Matthews Band. I agree with Jimmy. I mean, we're opening for the Slackers already.
Yeah,
for Eric.
Exciting.
So Eric's like, all right, I'm done.
No,
I achieved my goals.
There's so many bands I would love to play.
So you got to pick one since you're already opening for the Slackers.
I would say there's a band from New Orleans called Galactic. They're a...
metal? Death metal?
No. They're like a
gospel.
Funk, jazz, rock band.
They're like STS-9 a little bit, right?
No, they're a little more like blues, too.
Oh, wow.
They're really awesome. I've seen them a few times. Actually, I saw them up in... Saratoga Springs, two nights opening up for Dave, man. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
But Galactic is kind of like along the same page you were saying. I think that they're very an energetic band and something that I could definitely see us, like, you know, fitting well on the stage playing, you know, opening up for them. They're really cool.
That'd be awesome.
They're really cool, yeah.
I could see John loving Dave Matthews, to be honest with you. I could see you, like,
absolutely.
Coming up like...
Don't drink the water.
He could actually use it in some of his songs. It would actually be really sick, to be honest with you. And you have a real nice flavor the way you do it, like the way you did it in the Thong song or some of your other songs, like, or even the pre-existing songs that you guys had had previously. Then you came in and you did nice flair on things. So I'd be surprised. You actually probably would do a couple of nice things on Dave Matthews. He's like heavier, more intense ones.
Grave digger, when you dig my grave.
That's actually probably one of them. Like the real intense part.
Ah, jeez.
So now what we want you guys to do, we'll go around the room, say whatever you want. We want you to plug instruments, you know, speakers, whatever you want, anything that you're using that you want to let anybody know about, anything that's not mainstream, that, you know, someone suggested you try and you looked it up, just spitball, anything you could suggest to people, any instruments you're using.
Yeah, we have a lot of audio gear nerds that listen to the show, and really, they look into these brands and actually want to play them. Go to Guitar Center, go to Musician's Friend, pick some up. So, whoever wants to start.
My guitar is so sexy.
How sexy is it?
And what kind of sexy guitar is it?
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's super sexy, like 13, 14, I don't even know. Once you pick this thing up, it's almost impossible to put it down. It's a Fender Stratocaster. It's an American Deluxe. It's got the locking tuners, the noiseless pickups, and it just plays amazing. The neck feels great. I mean, everything about it, it's just really loose, really easy to play. I feel like I'm better than I am now. It's great. It's great. Check out that one. And for my pedals, I would really say a really fun one. It's like a classic standard, the Tube Screamer. I think I have the TS9. That's like the standard one. That's a great one. And then what I really love, and as part of my sound, you know, like my Jimmy James Stereo Joe type of sound, is the Digital Reverb Delay pedal by Boss. I love that one. I wish I could have four of them. I use them all different ways. They're just so like psychedelic, but yet I don't know, it just adds something that I don't a lot of hear a lot of guitarists doing today. So it's like kind of stands out. I don't know if that's a good thing or something, but still, it sounds really cool. But those are my main guys. I got a bunch of little things, but
yeah, for me, growing up playing guitar, it's always been Fender. You know, much you have a few Fenders yourself, and
yeah,
obviously they have a nice clean sound. And I have a Precision Squire bass and a jazz bass as well. And then back home, I have two Fender Strats. So for me, it's always been Fender.
So we love two Fender guys here.
Sal?
I am
on the same page with Fender, baby, right?
They don't
play Fender drums. That's impressive.
No, I do not. I mean, I don't even think.
I don't think so either.
Make it.
They might make like a little kiddie set.
They might, and I don't even know. In like Indonesia, they have it. No, I have
real drummers.
my setup. I'm not really a gearhead, but anyways, my drum kit is Gretsch set. It's been my only one since I first started. I always like to try all types of cymbal brands out, because honestly I don't have a favorite, and neither do I have a favorite stick brand. I feel like it's all metal, it's all wood. Ugh, it's just so hard to choose for me. So I'm very indecisive about my equipment. So I'm always looking to get more comfortable throughout my years.
Well, Sal, if you had a custom stick, the Sal stick,
yeah,
what would it be?
Ooh, all right,
long and hard.
You. It'd probably be like a.
That's a given.
it would definitely be like around a, what is it, like a 0.595 circumference.
With a tip.
Like a 5B. It would be just regular like 16-inch, with probably like a barrel tip. I don't know. I'll probably have that.
Would it be a plastic
worked
tip?
Out. No, I don't do that. I'm sorry. I don't do nylons. I'm pretty against it. I don't know.
How about a latex tip?
No latex.
Always leave a reservoir.
The reservoir tip.
I use DW 9000s. I don't play double pedal in Stereo Joe, but I'm also in another band, Monitor, and sometimes I play the double pedal in there. I like to play all different styles as a drummer, but I gotta say Stereo Joe drumming is the funnest for me. It's when I can really just jump, you know, up and down, sing along, rap. It's pretty open for me, and you know that's my gear. It's my head and what I can do with it within the music.
Sal does a lot of vocal styles. It's pretty impressive. He kills it on harmonies. Me and Eric are playing catch up. But Sal really kills on harmonies, and he's like the whitest rapper you know. And no, but he's like, he really rocks it. It's like really amazing. And when I first heard him do it, I was just like, you definitely got to bring this into the music. And it just worked, and it's been really exciting. It's helped drive the direction of the band a little bit, too, which is good. And Eric's been ever-increasing his vocals, too, and it's amazing.
I think that's the one cool thing about this band, about Stereo Joe, is that there's so many different musical influences and so many different styles where we could almost we have so many different styles of songs where I feel like depending on the show, we can even tailor our set list to you know, what type of show we're playing, which is really cool. And now that we're going to get some covers in there, just throw that in there, too. I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, I'll come in with a bass line or James will be working on something, and we all just collaborate together, and it really, you know, the song that was originally written just takes a whole nother direction. You know, it's really cool. It's really cool how that plays a part and just goes like that.
Definitely. We like to push each other and challenge ourselves and each other to get us, you know, better and achieve more within our ideas and what we want to put out there. I definitely got to give a lot of credit to Jimmy for pushing me to sing and drum, because really I never thought I would be doing that, and especially rapping or even doing harmonies, which, yeah, like I did that, you know, basically from ear, but I would never think to be in a band actually doing it live in front of people. That's something that throughout the gigs playing with Stereo Joe, I really started to get more comfortable with, and really just opening more and more my wings.
Ah, you guys spread your wings and fly.
I am. I'm a fucking. I'm freaking
fly.
It's true. I mean, when we started the thing, there was no talk of him singing. And then as we just went on, he set up this microphone and he just started doing things. I was like, shit, we got to start doing this. And it just naturally worked itself into it. And the other thing that we've been so fortunate about, as Eric was talking about with the songwriting, is just like, we don't even have to try. We're just so lucky. Like, the songs just come out of us so easily and so naturally. It's like almost to the point where we have to say no more songs. Like, we have to put a pause on it so we can gain in other areas of the band. Like, we just have so many songs coming to us. It's kind of ridiculous.
But we put a pause on it, and somehow they still keep popping up.
Yeah, you know? That's so true.
We got it.
It's very natural when the three of us are together. I feel like there's a lot of good chemistry, you know? We all kind of know what we're doing. We've been playing in many bands. We've all been in many other bands, and we just know what we're doing, I guess, to some extent, you know? And it's cool. It's really cool.
Absolutely. And if you've never seen Stereo Joe live, I really recommend seeing them. They are phenomenal live. And actually, I have a question for Jimmy James here. Now, I remember the first Stereo Joe show I was at, a Mr. Don Jameson decided to open up the show. Oh, wait a second. That was the night before Don Jameson.
We were hanging out that night.
Now, follow up, the Hookers and Blow show, Don Jameson was the host. Did he remember Jimmy James?
You know what? I did not get to talk to him that night. I was waiting for my moment. Because, you know, I don't like to just bull rush these guys, you know. And plus, there was some chicks there. So I was, like, letting him get his groove on. But, like, you know, I didn't want to come up and cock block him. I thought that, like, oh, that's how he's going to like me. I've chased all these babes away. So, anyway, I was waiting for the moment. And it just never materialized. I was, like, pretty sad about it. It was kind of a blown opportunity because I think he might have, you know, sometimes it's hard to forget me. I don't know.
He did give you a nice shout-out during your buddy's show.
That was sick. It was sick, yeah. He was on stage, and he's like, hey, Jimmy James said this band's good. And fucking shine a light at me, baby. It was nice. I was hoping that he was going to do that at our show, but bastard.
Damn.
He's pretty funny, that bastard.
Dan, any questions?
Nah.
I got a question for you, Dan.
Bring it on.
What's your eyesight vision? I see you got a pair of glasses on.
Dude, my vision sucks. It's straight up. It's definitely not 20/20. Yeah. I'm not like totally blind when I take my glasses off, but it's pretty blurry.
How many legs am I holding up?
Yeah.
All one.
Right. I'm not going to answer that.
So, okay, well.
I think aside from all the shows that we're playing up, coming up, we've been working a lot on recording some new songs too, and that'll be coming up soon.
Yes, we
so
actually
you're putting out an EP.
We have
working on some newer ones.
Yeah, we have a home recorded EP already out now, but we are currently working on a new one, and it's going great. And we're so excited to put this it's new songs. It's
really
good.
All new songs. That
it's
we've
sick.
Kind of all
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty exciting. They're all upbeat. It's a pretty decent recording. You know, we did it in studio here or whatever. And
Studio Barn.
Studio Joe.
Hey.
Perfect.
Hi-yo.
I'll just keep coming up with names for you. It's all right.
They join our marketing team like we talked about earlier in the segment.
Get over here.
Yeah, exactly. We got fucking Kato or whatever his name was.
Scorpion.
Scorpion.
Oh, my God.
I don't
Kato.
I know these fucking guys. Sub-Zero. Yeah, exactly. Eric, who did you use to play? I always used fucking Raiden or whatever his name is.
Raiden,
thank you. I was drinking.
I was Liu Kang, motherfucker.
Liu Kang!
With his little flying kicks.
I was actually, I'll be honest with you, I was a Street Fighter 2 guy, so fuck
you.
Hayuken.
I like Tekken.
Who did you use?
Tekken was
no,
cool.
That sound, Hayuken or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, Hayuken!
I was a Bison guy.
Oh.
If you knew how to work Bison, yeah. He was unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Yes.
I was all about Chun-Li and those legs. Holy shit. Oh, yeah. She could wrap me up with those legs. I was, like, hoping for her to kick my ass. I was like, damn it.
You know.
Did you ever see the movie, the Street Fighter movie?
No, there was a movie?
Yeah, it was awful.
Van Damme was in it.
Why don't we get together this
Van Damme
weekend?
And Claude Julien.
There's a Mortal Kombat movie.
And watch it. Is there a hot Chun-Li in it?
I don't remember.
There's a chick in there that's hot. She's blonde. She's like the cop with him.
No. They're talking about the Chinese one, Chun-Li.
She's one of the characters.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Dude, I watched that when I was like a kid, so I don't remember. Like,
hey, are they making a Power Rangers movie, I heard?
Dude, I are they? That'd be pretty
big
sick.
Big name people in it.
Yeah, no, they are.
Like?
Really? I forget. Like, I feel like I could be wrong.
George Clooney.
I felt like I saw, like...
Tom Hanks.
He's the Red Ranger.
Maybe it was, like, a joke meme online, but I feel like there was, like, a hot babe playing, like, that bad woman. Do you have any details?
No.
Angelina Jolie's doing the bad lady.
Are you serious?
Nope. Not at all.
It was someone like that, though. I was like, damn, like, there's serious actors in this movie.
You want to know what? That, like, when they put out the, like, R-rated short film for Mortal Kombat... I was like, dude, please. It looks so sick. You ever watch that?
No.
Dude. So they put it was kind of like a mini like trailer series where it went through like all this, you know, R-rated like Mortal Kombat, and dude, it was sick.
Yeah, I actually do know what you're talking about. They have though Mortal Kombat movies.
No, I know, but this is like
newer.
Modern.
Yes.
R-rated.
I know what you're talking about.
They did it for Power Rangers too. I saw like it wasn't as it wasn't as long. Like the Mortal Kombat one was more like a series of videos, like trailers. But they did a Power Ranger one. This was like legit rated R with like naked chicks in it and like people like blood and gore. Like it was it's pretty totally three like complete 180 from the shows, which obviously for kids.
So I actually found the confirmed cast for the Power Ranger movie of 2017.
Damn.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Banks.
Ooh. Elizabeth Banks is
Elizabeth
Rita Repulsa.
Bang?
She's the bad lady.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know someone hot.
No, but she fits her well.
I told you.
I would
see,
say.
I'm not lying
now you
to
have
people.
You have Naomi Scott as the Pink Ranger.
Can I see a picture?
She looks pretty cute.
Yeah, she's not that bad.
Becky G.
Becky G. My girl, Becky G.
Becky G.
I'm all
G
in
on that.
Yeah, she is Trina Kwan, the Yellow Ranger.
Oh,
you have RJ Seiler? Cyler as Billy Cranston, the Blue Ranger.
These are not big names,
guys,
James.
No.
Study science.
You have Ludi Lin, LUDI LIN, as Zach Taylor, the Black Ranger.
I will fuck you up.
And you have Dacre. What is up with these fucking names? Dacre Montgomery, Dacre.
Wow, Jimmy, big names.
Yes,
thanks, man.
As Jason Lee Scott, the Red Ranger.
Wait, is that Justin Bieber? He plays a person who gets
Justin
killed
Biebla.
Killed in the first 2 seconds of the movie? Really?
Yo, don't spoil it. Dan actually worked on the lighting for the movie.
I worked on more than that.
Oh, shit. Oh,
here's the fluffer.
Yeah. I did the makeup, too.
Speaking of which, I did just see a documentary on video games. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Atari. I think I am the oldest person in this room.
Not
maybe
yeah,
Atari,
by a lot.
Maybe some of our listeners out there have heard of Atari. But
is
anyway.
About the E.T. game?
Yes, did you see it?
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting.
It really was.
Now, what's this about?
Essentially, I guess there was this rumor or false premise that the game E.T. killed Atari.
Oh, wait a second. And they buried all the copies or something like that?
Yes.
I heard about that.
Yes. It was quite interesting. Like, it mixes history and video
Have you guys ever played
games.
Atari or the E.T. game specifically for Atari?
I played a bunch of Atari. I don't remember every single title, but like Pitfall, whatever that classic game is, Grand Prix, a bunch of them, definitely. My brother had it, my older brother.
Well, the problem with that, and I think it was in the documentary, is that there was a time constriction to put the E.T. game out for like a few months. Yeah.
They said the average game...
They wanted to get it out in time for Christmas.
Right? Absolutely, I think it's a marketing thing.
Yeah. So the game sucked. I mean, it was doomed from the get-go, dude.
Well, it was amazing. The guy who designed the game, every single game he designed sold over a million units.
Yes.
He was the only one, so he was a total legend. And all
what was
of
the one game? Something Revenge or that was
his
big
first
one.
I forget. Revenge.
Yeah.
It was a guy's name back. Yar's Revenge.
Yar's Revenge.
But
so
this
that was
guy,
like one of the biggest games for Atari. I believe.
Steven Spielberg wanted him to do it in 5 weeks to get to the Christmas market for the sale.
Uh huh.
When the average game took 5 to 6 months.
No,
this guy
ridiculous.
Said that he would do it. And he did it.
That isn't quite the task
for the
to take on.
Yeah, and Steven Spielberg actually endorsed it. He gave Steven Spielberg the final decision over the video game.
Yes.
So he approved it, but I think it really tore the guy up. But he's on the video. He goes back. It's probably a surreal moment for him.
But like the game was just like unbeatable or something, right? Was it a glitch or just it was so difficult?
It was almost like a glitch, but it was like so difficult, almost impossible to beat. And there was a lot of cool things in it, but it was a difficult game and too difficult. And at the same time, the market change took direction. It was just coincidental.
Yeah.
But It just looked like but that game blamed, tanked
that,
it, but it didn't.
Took the, that had to take the hit.
Yeah, but it's something. Yeah, I guess something gets blamed. But it was worth it. You should see it. And right after you're done checking that out, you should go right over to YouTube and type in Stereo Joe. We have five songs up there right now. Number one, the most listened to song we have up on YouTube right now, which is, I don't even want to tell you the number because Sal said no numbers and I have to concur, but The Sun from Live at the Stand-Up House. Put those numbers up for us, all right? Then we also got some other killer tracks up there. In Range, Games. We are also on SoundCloud.com.
Side by Side.
Side by Side, Illusions, and Waiting. So we have different songs on that. So we actually have quite a few songs online. You got to search around a couple different places. We just recently got our Bandcamp up. That is, like, it's not up. So check back in 2 weeks, or actually when this airs, it might be up and running. But if not, check back in a couple weeks.
That'll be
two.
About 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to be putting some of that the new material up that we've been recording, too, at some point.
Yeah, we have some good footage.
Once that's done, it's boom, right online.
But really, the next major thing for us, like they mentioned, is this new 5-song record we have coming out. We are really freaking psyched about it, and we've been putting a lot of hard work and effort into it. We got all these guys' angelic voices on there, and we hope you check it out. We are going to be selling this one, but we do have another one that we are giving away for free. So just, we've got a bunch of songs online for free. So please, check it out. Start listening to it. Spread the word. We're looking for some friends to meet at the shows, so we're hoping to meet you. If your band wants to get with our band, start doing some shows together, we're totally down for that. If you guys have ever any questions about the industry or about, you know, anything we know, we'd love to help you out. So please don't be afraid to reach out to us on Facebook. That's probably the best medium. Then after that would be the email. And, of course, through all the other ones. But those are the ones we're going to get first, the quickest. So we hope to hear from you. I love you from the bottom of my heart. If you've been to any of our shows, if you've been to more than one show, I will probably kill someone for you. And you guys have been to a bunch, so we really appreciate it. We love Behind the Barricade. It was a pleasure to work with you guys when I did. I'm sorry that I don't have more time and it sucks, but I hope to come back with you guys, you know, do some stuff here and there. You know, maybe
the Stereo Joe show.
That's right, baby. That's the new thing coming on. So we'll be talking about that in the next episode of Behind the Porn. Oh, no, that's our other show.
All right, so, guys, I know you have the Slacker show coming up. What other shows? I know you're playing a strip club.
Oh, yeah, we're actually playing with a couple rappers and hip-hop artists, so I have to bring my A game for that.
Absolutely.
This one rap team.
Yep. I gotta like
Eminem Jr.
Oh, you bet. Slim Shady, no way.
Eminem Mini.
Mini, you're a mini Eminem.
We got that one. We got that Boone Tunes one.
There's another tavern.
Tavern. Yeah, don't forget St. Patrick's Day.
Come have some beers with us. Hang out and see some music.
Yeah, New Brunswick at the Court Tavern. That's gonna be great.
And B. I'm gonna see some drunken Rutgers people over there.
Yeah, oh yeah,
Rutgers students.
Sounds like a good time. Can we go to the grease trucks afterwards? Or are they're no longer stationed in New Brunswick anymore, right? From what I hear.
No, they should be still there.
I think they are.
Well, they're not stationed in the same spot. I know they've moved. I think they need to keep moving because I think they built like a new building on where they used to be.
Basically, what Eric's saying is after he gets slightly inebriated, he's going to look for food. And if you move the trucks around on him, it's going to make it a lot harder.
It's not going to go well, man.
Actually, fun fact, we interviewed the band When Thieves Are About, and their lead singer, Alfredo, has a sandwich named after him.
Wow.
He has the Fat Fredo.
That guy's my hero.
It's incredible. And the sandwich is still up on that truck.
I think he ate five of them.
Yeah, he ate five.
No kidding.
All right. All right, so guys, just like him on Facebook, Twitter. Sign up for the email list at stereojoeemail@gmail.com. They're also on Instagram, stereo_Joe, I believe, if I have that correct.
Yep.
And basically, just Google Stereo Joe. Stereo and then space J-O, like my initials. Wink, wink. So, Dan, any plugs?
Check out my band, Dead Tide. Check out my former band that John is in, Too Far Lost. Check out my YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you want to check out, my Facebook. I'm Daniel Tao, T-O-U-W. No, I'm not Chinese. And my handle for Twitter and YouTube is Rock Drummer, so R-C-K-D-R-U.
MM3R. Yes, John, I know it's confusing and shit, but whatever.
It is confusing as shit.
If there's any angry Asians out there, please send all hate mail to Daniel Tao, the non-Chinese guy.
@gmail.com.
John, you plug away.
Yes, so definitely check out my band, Too Far Lost. We're on Facebook, Too Far Lost Rock. Also on YouTube, Too Far Lost Rock. On Twitter, we are @TooFarLost. Instagram, @TooFarLost. And we're still searching for a drummer. So if you're a drummer in the North New Jersey area, even in the Central New Jersey area, please send us an email at TooFarLost@gmail.com. What the fuck are you doing in my ear? It's really fucking me up.
That was hot, guys. I'm not going to lie.
Yes. And if you like what you hear, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/BehindTheBarricade. Twitter, @BehindTheCade, C-A-D-E. Instagram, instagram.com/BehindTheBarricade. And we'll be up on iTunes soon. What the fuck are you doing, Dan? It's really fucking driving me nuts. But I'm out of plugs. Guys, thank you so much. This has been Stereo Joe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Behind the Barricade.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
Once again, Too Far Lost, Stereo Joe, and Dead Tide.
Thanks, James.
Okay, bye.